Welcome to Zichu Dasi Mani Mamare Ram Goldare Anthony Masakas Baba Kama Daf Gimel. The first parak, Arba Avos. The first parak is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Moshe and Devorah Smith and is dedicated to our courageous soldiers of Tzahal, the remarkable citizens of Israel, and to all incredible Jewish people. May Kodesh Baruch Hu watch over all of us and grant Israel a complete victory over Hamas and the return of all the hostages safely. So the few times we're going to focus on, number one, in the Braisa was taught that the word v'shilach, and he sends forth, refers to damages of regel. As the Pasuk says, m'shalchei regel ashor v'chamor, that send forth the foot of the ox and the donkey. The word ubir, and it consumes, refers to damages of shein. As the Pasuk says, kashi yaver ha'galal tumo, as the tooth consumes until the end. Without the Pasuk which supports explaining v'shilach as regel, both might have referred to shein. Had mechalya karna, and one pasuk obligates payment for shein where the animal totally consumes the object, and the other teaches he must pay even where the item is not completely destroyed. Without the pasuk which supports explaining ubir as shein, both might refer to regel. Had da azam amelo, one pasuk obligates payment for damages where the animal went on its own and damaged someone's property. Had da shalach shaluchi, and the other pasuk obligates payment where its owner sent it to the property. Now that one pasuk refers to shein and the other to regel, we derive that shein is obligated even where the damage is not complete, because the pasuk of regel implies even incomplete destruction, and we derive that regel pays even where it was not sent, because the pasuk of shein implies even such damage. Point number two, after proving that all the toldos are identical to the avos, the Gemara concludes that when Rav Papa said that some toldos are not identical to their av, he was referring to a tolda of regel, specifically b'chatzi nezek sroros. The half damage is paid for damage caused by pebbles which shot out from the feet of a walking animal. The Hilchos of Gemrila, which is learned from Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that it only pays half damages despite being a tolda of regel, since it's caused by normal walking. The Gemara asks why it is categorized as regel, since it only pays half damages, and explains l'shol min aliyah, to pay from choice property, meaning from his own possessions, even beyond the value of the damaging animal, as opposed to Karen, whose half damage payments cannot exceed the damaging animal's value. Although Rabba was uncertain if Sroros payments are made in excess of the animal's value, Rav Papa held they are. According to Rabba, Sroros is categorized as regel to exempt it from paying for damages which took place in Rishus HaRabim, like all regel. And point number three, Amoraim dispute the meaning of mave in the Mishnah. Rav says, mave ze adam. Mave refers to man who damages. And Shmuel says, mave ze hashein. Mave refers to shein. Rav's interpretation is based on a pasuk saying about man, in tva'yun va'yu, if you seek forgiveness, seek. And Shmuel's interpretation is based on a pasuk which says, nevu matzmonav, Esav's hidden things have been sought out, which Rav Yosef translated as iskalyan, exposed. Mave refers to teeth, which are sometimes covered and sometimes exposed. After the Gemara explains that neither interpretation fits precisely in the grammatical structure of mave, it explains the point of contention. Rav holds Tana Shor v'kol mili d'shor. The Tana taught ox as a primary damager, which includes all types of ox damages, Karen, Shein, and Regel. So mave cannot refer to Shein. Shmuel can respond, Tana Shor l'karno u'mave l'shino. The Tana taught ox referring to damages done with its horn, and taught mave referring to damages done with his teeth. Ultimately, Rabbi will explain that ox refers to regel according to Shmuel. So once again, the 3 points are number one. In Braisa, it was taught that the word b'shilach, and he sends forth, refers to damages of regel, as the pasuk says, b'shalchi regel hashor v'chamor, that send forth the foot of the ox and the donkey. The word ubir, and it consumes, refers to damages of shein, as the pasuk says, kashi yaver ha'galal tumo, as the tooth consumes until the end. Without the pasuk which supports explaining b'shilach as regel, both might have referred to shein. Had mechalya karna, and one pasuk obligates payment for shein where the animal totally consumes the object, and the other teaches he must pay even where the item is not completely destroyed. Without the pasuk which supports explaining ubir as shein, both might refer to regel. Had da azam amelo, one pasuk obligates payment for damages where the animal went on its own and damaged someone's property. Had da shalach shaluchi, and the other pasuk obligates payment where its owner sent it to the property. Now that one pasuk refers to shein and the other to regel, we derive that shein is obligated even where the damage is not complete, because the pasuk of regel implies even incomplete destruction, and we derive that regel pays even where it was not sent, because the pasuk of shein implies even such damage. Point number two, after proving that all the toldos are identical to the avos, the Gemara concludes that when Rav Papa said that some toldos are not identical to their av, he was referring to a tolda of regel, specifically b'chatzi nezek sroros. The half damage is paid for damage caused by pebbles which shot out from the feet of a walking animal. The Hilchos of Gemrila, which is learned from Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that it only pays half damages despite being a tolda of regel, since it's caused by normal walking. The Gemara asks why it is categorized as regal, since it only pays half damages, and explains l'shol min aliyah, to pay from choice property, meaning from his own possessions, even beyond the value of the damaging animal, as opposed to Karen, whose half damage payments cannot exceed the damaging animal's value. Although Rabba was uncertain if Tzroer's payments are made in excess of the animal's value, Rapapa held they are. According to Rava, Tzroros is categorized as regal to exempt it from paying for damages which took place in Rishus HaRabim, like all regal. And point number three, Amoraim dispute the meaning of Mave in the Mishnah. Rav says, Mave ze Adam. Mave refers to man who damages, and Shmuel says, Mave ze Hashen. Mave refers to Shane. Rav's interpretation is based on a pasuk saying about man, in Tvayim Vayu, if you seek forgiveness, seek. And Shmuel's interpretation is based on a pasuk which says, Nevu Matzponav, Esav's hidden things have been sought out, which Rav Yosef translated as Iskalyan, exposed. Mava refers to teeth which are sometimes covered and sometimes exposed. After the Gemara explains that neither interpretation fits precisely in the grammatical structure of Mava, it explains the point of contention. Rav holds Tana Shor v'kol mili d'shor. The Tana taught ox as a primary damager, which includes all types of ox damages, Karen, Shane, and Regal. So Mave cannot refer to Shane. Shmuel can respond, Tana Shor l'karno u'mave l'shino. The Tana taught ox referring to damages done with its horn, and taught Mave referring to damages done with his teeth. Ultimately, Rav will explain that ox refers to Regal according to Shmuel. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Gimel, and our standard Siman is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes. The Nazikin camel that damaged property with its regal, while consuming property with its chain, kicked up some Chetzi Nezik Tzroros, which accidentally hit a Mava man while he was busy trying to seek forgiveness. Once again, slow motion. The Nazikin camel, that must mean one Daf Gimel, Gamal. The Nazikin camel that damaged property with its regal, while consuming property with its chain, which reminds us, in a Braisa it was taught that the word Mishilach, and he sends forth, refers to damages of regal, and the word Ubir, and it consumes, refers to damages of shame. From the fact that one pasuk refers to shame and the other to regal, we derive that shame is obligated even where the damage is not complete, because the pasuk of regal implies even incomplete destruction, and we derive that regal pays even where it was not sent, because the pasuk of Shane implies even such damage. So the Nazikin camel that damaged property with its regal, while consuming property with its Shane, kicked up some Chetzi Nezik Tzroros, which reminds us that after proving that all the totals are identical to the Avos, the Gemara concludes that when Rapapa said that some totals are not identical to their Av, he was referring to the total of regal specifically, but Chetzi Nezik Tzroros, the half damage is paid for damage caused by pebbles which shot out from the feet of a walking animal, the Hilchas Gemirla, which is learned from a halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim that it only pays half damages, despite being a told of regal, since it's caused by normal walking. So the Nazikin camel that damaged property with its regal, while consuming property with its chain, kicked up some Chetzi Nezik Tzroros, which accidentally hit a Mava man while he was busy trying to seek forgiveness, which reminds us, Amoraim dispute the meaning of Mava in the Mishnah. Rava says, Mava ze Adam, Mava refers to man who damages, and Shmuel says, Mava ze Hashen, Mava refers to Shane. Rav's interpretation is based on the pasuk saying about man, in Tva'um Vayu, if you seek forgiveness, seek. Rav holds Tana Shor v'kol mili d'shor, the Tana taught ox as a primary damager, which includes all types of ox damages, Karen, Shane, and Regal, so Mava cannot refer to Shane. Shmuel can respond, Tana Shor l'karno u'mava l'shino, the Tana taught ox referring to damages done with its horn, and taught Mava referring to damages done with its teeth. Ultimately, Rav will explain that ox refers to Regal, according to Shmuel. So once again, the Nazikin camel that damaged property with its regal, while consuming property with its chain, kicked up some Chetzi Nezik Tzroros, which accidentally hit a Mava man while he was busy trying to seek forgiveness. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Pei. So the Siman Daf Pei is a painter. So here goes. The painter, that must mean we're in Daf Pei. The painter was so engrossed in painting a picture of what was presumed to be a family about to get skila and sreifa, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan says, Malkin al Chazakos, we administer Malkos based on legal presumptions, and Solkin v'sorfin al Chazakos, we execute by stoning and burning based on legal presumptions. This second ruling is based on Rabbi Barahuna's statement that in a case where a man, woman, young boy, and young girl all grew up in the same house, creating the unproven presumption that their parents and their children, niskalin zal zeh, they are stoned to death because of each other, meaning if the boy has relations with a woman, presumed to be his mother, v'nisrafin zal zeh, and they're burned to death because of each other, meaning if the girl has relations with a man, presumed to be her father. So the painter was so engrossed in painting a picture of what was presumed to be a family about to get skila and Sreifa, that he didn't notice his son playing with some dough next to a dead sheretz, which reminds us, Reish Lakish said, Sorfina chazakos, we burn truma, based on legal presumptions indicating it became tame. But Rabbi Yochanan said, ain sorfina chazakos, we do not burn truma, based on legal presumptions. This parallels another machukas they have. A Mishnah teaches that if a child is found near a dough, and the dough is in his hand, Rabbi Meir rules the dough tower, and the chachamim say it's tame. Mifnei shedarko sheltino katapea, because it's the way of a child to play with shratzim and garbage heaps, rendering him tame, and by extension the dough he appears to have touched. So the painter was so engrossed in painting a picture of what was presumed to be a family about to get skila and sreifa that he didn't notice his son playing with some dough next to a dead sheretz, nor the woman secluded in a room next door with two men. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches the laws of yichud. A man may not be in yichud with two women, but a woman may be in yichud with two men. A braisa explains the distinction between two men and two women, however nashim daitin kalas alan, because women's minds are light to be persuaded, and both may agree to sin. Daf pei olav. So the siman daf pei olav is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa, that must be on daf pei olav. The grandpa who was in the city when his wife was in Yichud at home with a plumber, which reminds us, Rav said Malkin al Yichud. We administer rabbinical malchus for Yichud, vein ostrin al Yichud, but do not forbid a married woman to her husband based on Yichud. Rav Ashi said that even malchus are not given to a married woman, lest people think she committed adultery and received malchus because the death penalty is not applicable today, and that her children are mamzerim. Rabba said, if her husband is in the city, we're not concerned about Yichud since she's afraid that her husband may come at any time. So the grandpa who was in the city when his wife was in Yichud at home with a plumber intended to sin and eat pork, but mistakenly ate lamb. Which reminds us, the Bryce explains the pasuk Isha hafei ram Hashem yislachla, her husband revoked her nadarim, and Hashem will forgive her, as referring to a woman who violated her nadarim without knowing they were revoked, and it implies she requires forgiveness. Rabbi Kiva would weep when reaching this pasuk and say, if someone intended to eat pork and lamb's meat came to his hand, meaning he intended to eat non-kosher but mistakenly ate kosher, the Torah says it requires atonement and forgiveness, as evidenced by a woman whose nadarim were revoked, than someone who intended to eat pork and did all the more so. So the grandpa who was in the city when his wife was in Yichud at home with the plumber intended to sin and eat pork, but mistakenly ate lamb while visiting his sister alone in her home. Which reminds the Mishnah taught that one may be secluded with his mother or daughter. Rav Asi said, a man may be secluded occasionally with his sister, but may not reside alone with her. But he may reside alone with his mother or daughter because he's not tempted to sin with him. Shmuel said, it's forbidden to be secluded with all arayos in the Torah, even with an animal. Daf pei beis. So the simmer daf pei beis is peanut butter. So here goes. The boy whose father taught him the peanut butter business. Peanut butter? That must mean we're on daf pei beis. The boy whose father taught him the peanut butter business, since it was a clean and easy trade. Which reminds us, in the final mission of the Masechta, Rav Meir says, Lom yilamed adam esbeno umenos nekiya bakala. A person should always teach his son a clean and easy trade, and he should daven to he whom all wealth and possessions belong, for there's no trade that does not include poverty and wealth, because neither poverty nor wealth is a result of a trade, el kol lefis chuso. Rather, everything depends on one's merit. So the boy whose father taught him the peanut butter business, since it was a clean and easy trade, who felt bad for his friend whose father worked as a tanner, which reminds us, it was taught, Ashrei mi shero es hora b'umanos ma'ula. Fortune is he who sees his parents in a superior trade. Oilo mi shero es hora b'umanos paguma. And woe is he who sees his parents in an inferior trade. Similarly, the world requires both perfume merchants and tanners. Fortune is he who is a perfume merchant. And woe is he who is a tanner. So the boy whose father taught him the peanut butter business, since it was a clean and easy trade, who felt bad for his friend whose father worked as a tanner, was jealous of the boy whose father put aside every trade in the world and only taught his son Torah. Which reminds us, in a brayso, Rabbi Noroi says, Maniach ani kol umenos shebaolam, I put aside every trade in the world, ve'eni melamed esbeni ela Torah, and I only teach my son Torah, because every trade only provides for a person in his youth when he can perform it, but in his old age, he's left exposed to hunger. But Torah is not so. Omedes lo adam be'ez yalduso, it stands by a man in his youth, v'nosenes lo achis v'tikva be'ez zignuso, and gives him a future and a hope in his old age, because he receives reward for previous study, even if he's too sick or old to do so. Dab Beis. So the Simmer Dab Beis is a bais, a house. So here goes. In front of the Nezikin house. House? That must mean we're in Dab Beis. Bais. In front of the Nezikin house, featuring four rooms for the Arba Avos Nezikin, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that there are Arba Avos Nezikin, a Shor, a Bor, a Mav, and a Hever, and then identifies which of them have things in common with each other and which do not. So, in front of the Nezikin house, featuring four rooms for the Arba Avos Nezikin, and a list of the toldos of Shabbos and Tumah posted on the front door, which reminds us from the term Avos, but called the Ekotoldos, it's implied that there are subcategories of damagers which can be derived from the primary damagers. The Gemara asks, toldos en kiyotz behen or love kiyotz behen? Are the subcategories similar to the law to the primary categories, like the toldos of Shabbos, or not, like the toldos of Tumah? So, in front of the Nezikin house featuring four rooms for the Arba Avos Nezikin, and a list of the toldos of Shabbos and Tumah posted on the front door, a shore did Negif with his horns to another shore, which reminds us. The Gemara lists the toldos of Karen, damage to goring. We have Negifa, pushing, Neshicha, biting, Ravitza, squatting, and Beita, kicking. The Gemara asks that just as goring is an av, because the Torah writes, ki yigach, if an ox shall gore, pushing should also be considered an av, since the Torah writes, ki yigof, if an ox shall push. It answers that the word pushing in the pasuk means goring, striking with horns, as evidenced by the Torah switching to the term goring in the same pasuk. The Gemara explains that goring is used regarding a human victim, whereas pushing is used regarding an animal victim. Because a man has muzzle intelligence, it writes goring, because more forceful intent would be required to harm him, as opposed to an animal. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you learn that woe is he that sees his parent in an inferior trade, like a tanner? That's on Duff. Pebes. Good. Number two, which stuff do you learn a case where a father married his daughter off on the road and then she accepted kedushin and was found to be a bogeris? That's on Duff. Ayin test. Good. Number three, which stuff do you learn about chatzin nezik sroros? That's on Duff. Gimel. Good. Number four, which of the word Negicha refers to goring a man, and Negifa refers to goring an animal? That's on Duff. Beis. Good. Number five, which of the word we give Malkus based on Chazakos, and we give Skila and Sreifa based on Chazakos? That's on Duff. Pei. Good. Number six, which Duff do we Malkus, Rab and Shmuel, whether Mav refers to Adam or Shane? That's on Duff. Gimel. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you have the question whether Toldos sen kiyotz behen or love kiyotz behen? That's on Duff. Beis. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we have malchus whether kidesh loke, whether a kohen who married a woman prohibited to him incurs malchus even without having relations? That's on Duff. Ayin ches. Good. Number nine, which stuff do we have Rabbi Nahorai said that he set aside every trade and only taught his son Torah? That's on Duff. Pebes. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you discuss what we learned having Regel and Shane in the same pasuk? That's on Duff. Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.